Thank you, Jeff. I was sitting there thinking I could be standing out there somewhere and you didn't know who was going to be speaking, but if Jeff led that song, you'd know then, wouldn't you? I have been told that most of you are tired. Most of you are cold. Most of you are sleepy. So, Rodney, you are to keep it short or to speak loud or a combination of both. And that way not everyone goes to sleep. If you have God's Word, and I hope you do, open it up to Ruth chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3. And we're going to be doing some reference verses. You won't have to turn there with me. I've got them marked in my Bible. That way I can turn. But you can write them in the margin of your Bible if you want to, or in your notes if you're keeping them. Title of tonight's lesson: Five Ways to Draw Closer to Jesus. Five ways to draw closer to Jesus. Now, the scene that we have in Ruth chapter 3 is a scene that is a very close and intimate relationship. And that is between Ruth, which represents the church, as we talked about in the last couple of lessons, and with Boaz, who represents Jesus Christ himself. Now, we know the setting. I'm not going to go back and bring us up to speed. We've all listened to the last couple of lessons in the book of Ruth. We know where we are, so we're going to begin reading in verses 1 and 2 of Ruth chapter 3. One day, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you will be well provided for? Is not Boaz, with whose servant girls you have been, a kinsman of ours? Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor." Now, if we stop right there, winnowing, that's a tongue twister. Winnowing barley is simply throwing the barley up in the air and then letting the chaff off of that barley blow away, and then the grains of the barley fall down to the threshing floor. But Naomi gives Ruth some wonderful and excellent advice on an intimate relationship. And this applies to us as well, folks. If we want to have a personal and an intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pick up in verse 3. "Wash and anoint yourself and put on your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor. But don't let him know you're there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down there. He will tell you what to do." Oh, here's the setting. Here is the setting of five ways for each and every one of us here tonight, for those that maybe are watching online, to draw closer to Jesus. First and foremost, Christianity is not a cause. Christianity is not a creed. Christianity is not a code. Christianity is simply Christ. It's simply Christ. And the mark of each and every one of us here tonight should be the love that we show towards our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I wrote down, we should want more. We should want more than what He gives. To raise the bar, we should want the giver. We should want all of Him. Not just what He gives, but the giver. A lot of people in our society today, they know all about Jesus. But that number drastically reduces when you say, "Do you know Him?" Like Paul did. Paul said, "My whole ambition is I want to know Him." And that should be our ambition as well. not just to know about Him, but to know Him. You can know a lot about someone. You can know a lot about someone by reading a book, the same way you can read this Bible. You can read it and you can know about Him. But my question for all of us tonight, do we know Him? And this advice that Naomi gives Ruth, we can apply that to our individual lives as well if we want to really and truly know Him. Not know about Him, but know Him. Number one, be freshly cleansed. Be freshly cleansed. What did Naomi tell Ruth? She said in verse 3, Naomi, wash yourself. Wash yourself. Get cleaned up, Naomi, or Ruth. Wash yourself. What does James say? James 4 and verse 8, come near to Him and He will come near to you. And most of the time we stop right there. That's what we want to hear. Come near to Him and He will come near to you. But James goes on to say, if you read the very next verse in James chapter 4 and verse 8, come near to Him and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Wash your hands, you sinners. James is talking to Christians, folks. He's talking to the brethren. He says, wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. James is saying, if you want to draw near to Him, you're going to have to wash yourself. You're going to have to clean up. You cannot come and worship God with dirty hands and defiled hearts and be double-minded. It doesn't work, folks. It doesn't work. And so many people wonder why their prayers are not answered. Yes. They pray and they pray and they pray, but yet they get answered no. Well, I'm going to give you a reference scripture of Isaiah chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. And this is God talking through His prophet, Isaiah. Now, I want you to listen to this. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer up many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourself clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Simple, very simple command here, folks. Stop doing wrong and do right. Stop doing wrong and do right. God says, listen, if you want to come near to me, wash yourself. Wash yourself. And you may be sitting there tonight and you say, well, Rodney, how do we wash ourselves? How do we cleanse ourselves? And there's two ways. Number one, by the Word of God, and number two, by the blood of His Son. Folks, the Word of God, this book, the Bible, the Word of God is to your spirit the same way that water is to our body. What does James say? He says, look in a mirror. Look in the mirror. And what it does, it reveals the dirt. I could have dirt all over my face and I wouldn't know it until I looked in a mirror. Until I look into God's Word, we don't know what kind of dirt and filth is inside of us. That's what God's Word does. It reveals it. It reveals the sins that's in our life. And that is one reason I think a lot of people does not want to read the Bible. Because it brings things to the surface that they don't want to see. But this same book that reveals our sin also reveals the solution for our sin. This is the only book that reads you and reads me. We can read it, but it reads us back. And sometimes we don't like what it is saying to us. We're cleansed by the Word of God, but we're also cleansed by the blood of His Son, Jesus. 1 John chapter 1, and I'm going to read from verses 7 through 9, says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Here's our answer. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin." But we're going to carry on here. Now, what's this next verse? Verse 8. "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins," not single, plural, if, the word if is that right there. "If we confess our sins, then He is faithful and just and cleanses us from all unrighteousness." Do you see the stipulation? If. I've heard prayers, folks. "God, if I did sin this week, I'm sorry." My opinion, with a prayer like that, you're wasting your breath. You are simply wasting your breath. If we confess, only then will He be faithful and just and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. "God, I had a lustful thought today. God, I lost my temper. I got angry and I lost my temper. God, I was prideful today. God, I was selfish today. God, I was lazy today. God, I slandered somebody today. God, I gossiped somebody about somebody today." That's confessing sin, folks. You don't just put it all in a nutshell and, "God, if I sinned, I'm sorry." But look at the promise. The Word of God is a promise. If we confess our sin, plural, then He is faithful and just and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The first step, folks, if you want to know Jesus, not know about Him, but to know Him, the first step is be freshly cleansed. Wash yourself. The second step is be fragrantly consecrated. And I chose these words very, very carefully. Be fragrantly consecrated. Again, in verse 3, Naomi or Ruth, wash and anoint yourself. Simply saying, Ruth, put on some perfume. Now, men, these women know what they're doing. I'll just be honest with you. They're smart. Ruth, I not only want you to be clean, but I want you to be sweet. The same way that God wants the aroma of our lives coming up to Him. He wants us to be washed, but He wants us to be sweet. He wants the fragrance of Christ coming out of our life to come up as an aroma to Him. Folks, our anointing is from the Holy Spirit Himself. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27, and I want to read from there. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. And I lost somebody moved it on me. Y'all catch that? 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. It says, "As for you, the anointing you received from Him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But His anointing teaches you about all things. And as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you to remain in Him." Folks, our anointing is simply listening to the Spirit of God, The Holy Spirit that lives within inside of us, that enables us to live the Christian life. That is our anointing. And it gives us the fragrance of Christ. It's step two in a way of knowing Jesus, not just knowing about Him. Number three, be fitly clothed. Be fitly clothed. Again, verse 3. Naomi says, Ruth, I want you to wash, anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes. Dress up, Ruth. You're fixing to meet your Redeemer, Boaz. What does God tell us? Dress up. Dress up. You're fixing to meet your Redeemer, Jesus. How do we dress up? We dress up with beauty on the inside, not on the outside. We dress up with praise. We dress up with joy in our hearts. That's the clothing that we wear. Again, a reference scripture that I want to give you. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10. Isaiah says, and speaking, God is speaking through him. He says, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. Well, what's this next part? For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and covered me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, for as the soul makes the sprout come up. Folks, Mike spoke on giving thanks this morning in all circumstances. It doesn't matter what circumstance we're going through. We have to give God glory. And how do we do that? We thank Him. We thank Him and we praise Him. I've said this many, many times. I don't know how many billion people they are in the world. Probably 7-8 billion. I don't know. But standing right here, right now, I would almost guarantee you that 5 billion of them would be willing to swap places with me right now. Now that's how thankful I am. I know we all got something going on in our lives. I know we all have aches and pains, but what we're forgetting what He has done for us in the past, what He's doing for us now. None of us are hungry. We all got clothes. We all got a home to stay in. But yet sometimes we whine and we whine and we whine. And all I'm saying, folks, all I'm saying is sometimes we need to pull out the moans and the groans from our prayers and shove some hallelujahs in there. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him for what He's done, for what He's doing now and what He will do. We don't have any right to complain whatsoever. If you do, look at other people. Again, I'm blessed to be standing here. I got aches and pains. But again, there's millions and billions of people that would love to swap places with me right now. Be fitly clothed. Praise Him. Clothe yourself with praise. Take out some of the moans and groans and shove some hallelujahs in there. And number four, be fully committed. Be fully committed. Look in verses 4 and 5. When he lies down, note the place where he is laying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. Watch this next verse. He will tell you what to do. And she says, I will do whatever you say. Ruth, you go and you place yourself at the feet of your Redeemer. Folks, the most sacred place on earth is at the feet of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the most sacred place on earth. It is not in these pews. It is not in this building. It's not in this pulpit. The most sacred place on earth is at the feet of Jesus. What does that have a sign of? That is a sign of commitment. And that's what Ruth did. She said, Boaz, I want you as my redeemer. I want you as my protector. And I am sending you that sign of full commitment. Now, I looked online. It's really, really sad. But there are some people out there that will take that passage of Scripture and they'll turn it into a sexual activity. Folks, do not interpret this the way the world interprets this. There's nothing wrong with what she's doing here. If you look at the context and you dig into this, there are many, many families on this threshing floor of where Ruth goes and lays down at Boaz's feet. Please don't interpret that the way that the world does. I've said this many, many times. You're probably tired of hearing it. But folks, if Christ is not your Lord, He's not your Savior. If He's not your Master, if He doesn't govern your life, then He's not your Savior. And it's as simple as that. You can't have one without the other. You can't have Jesus that I want Him as my Savior, but I want to do what I want to do. No, it don't happen that way. The most sacred place on earth is at the feet of Jesus. Because when you say you are at the feet of Jesus, what you're telling Him that you are fully committed to Him. The same way that Ruth was sending a signal to Boaz. And then number five. Here's the last of the five things. If you want an intimate relationship with Jesus, if you want to know Him instead of just knowing about Him, be faithfully compliant. Be faithfully compliant. Verse 5 again. Watch what Ruth said. I will do whatever you say, Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor, verse 6, and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. Ruth said, I'm compliant. I am ready to obey. I'm ready to obey. And when I read that, James's words, what did James say? Be not just a hearer of the word, but a doer. And Ruth is saying, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to be compliant. Can I ask you a question? Do you think you can be near to Jesus without obeying Him? You can't, can you? You can't draw near to Him without obeying Him. Naomi says, He will tell you what to do. And Ruth said, I will do. I will do whatever He says to do. And that's what we are, folks. When we are fully committed to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we say, You tell me what to do and I will do it. We don't say, tell us what You want us to do, Lord, and then we'll decide whether we want to do it or not. No. We say, I'll do it. What is it? I'll do it. No matter what. I'll do it. What is it? One of the greatest, to me, one of the greatest verses in the Bible about knowing the Lord personally and intimately is John 14 and verse 21. I want to read it to you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him. But what's this next part? And I will show myself to him. He who has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And I love him, and he will be loved by my Father, and I will show myself to him. Folks, that's fully compliant. That is fully compliant. And I'm going to say something that may frighten you. I hope it's just momentarily that it frightens you. You're not going to know the Lord by Bible study. Now, before you jump to conclusions, let me explain. I have seen many, many people backslide and fall from grace with a Bible tucked under their armpit. And I'm going to ask you a question. What good is it if you know Greek and you don't know Him? What good is it if you know Hebrew and you don't know God? There's a difference. There's a difference in knowing about Him and knowing Him. Bible study will give you the knowledge about Him. Obedience will give you the knowledge of Him. Knowledge will come from obedience if you want to know Him intimately. If you just want to know about Him, yeah, read God's Word. But if you want to know Him, then you obey. You obey God's Word. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him. And I will show myself to him. What is sad? What is sad to me is I see all kinds of people. They sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," and yet they make no effort whatsoever to go out and obey him. Don't stand up and say, "Oh, how I love Jesus," when there's no desire to obey his teachings. What did he say? Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say?" That's what he was asking. He said, "Why don't call me Lord, Lord, if you're not going to obey him, obey me?" What did he tell his disciples? He said, "Not everyone that says, 'Lord, Lord,' is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those that do the Father's will." What is the Father's will? To be conformed to the Son. So here we go, back and forth. What's the Father's will? To be conformed to the Son. What's the Son's will? To obey the Father's will. They work hand in hand, folks. They work hand in hand. We don't have time tonight to finish reading this chapter. And I hope that you will. I hope that you will, possibly tonight or even tomorrow. But when you finish reading this, I want you to look at the response. I want you to look at the response that Boaz has to Ruth. And it is the same response that Jesus has to us, folks. When we come near to Him, when we cleanse ourselves, when we wash ourselves, when we anoint ourselves, when we're fully committed and we comply to His commands. Boaz received her, he reassured her, and he spoke peace to her. The same way that Jesus responds to us. Come on down to the last verse, chapter 3. I want you to read this verse with me. Verse 18, as we close. Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens." Now watch this next verse. This said home to me. "For the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." The man will not rest until the matter is settled today. Naomi is saying, "Listen, Ruth, just chill out. Ruth, be still." And folks, that's our responsibility. Responsibility, all it is our response to His ability. And Naomi is saying, Ruth, listen, this man will not rest until this matter is settled today. Did Jesus rest? He did not rest. He did not rest until the matter of our sin was taken care of. Yeah, the Roman soldiers, they said, oh, if you're Son of God, you prove yourself. Come down off the cross. Jesus, no, I've got to settle this. I've got to settle this. And he did. What was his last words? It is finished. It is finished. He settled it. The same words that Naomi told Ruth is being spoken to us today. For the man will not rest until the matter is settled today. And Jesus, folks, Jesus settled it. And then he went to his rest. Where's his rest? He went to the right hand of the Father and he sat down. And if you're a Christian, you can have this rest. This is a finished rest. Jesus said, it is finished. Now you and I get to enter into that finished rest because Jesus has finished it. The same part, same as what Naomi told Ruth. If you're here tonight and you've never entered into that finished rest, you can. You can by becoming a Christian. How do you become a Christian? You confess publicly that Jesus is the Son of God. You confess that you're going to take Him as your Lord and your Savior. You repent. You're fully compliant. You commit fully. And then you're baptized in these waters behind me. And as Varden Blackwell told my wife, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Folks, this is the easy part. This is the easy part. Right back here, going down under there and coming up, that's the easy part. The hard part is when we take our faith out into society and we make a stand for this man that we love. His name is called Jesus. That's the hard part when we're in a pressure situation and we want to give in because we don't fit in. That's the hard part. When we leave these walls right here, everything's fine with all of us in here right now. When we go out there and we deal with society, that's the hard part. But, the Father says, listen, if you will take that step, He said, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you a supernatural power. It's called the Holy Spirit. And if you will listen to Him, it's my gift to you. Not only am I going to give you forgiveness, am I going to give you grace, am I going to give you love and mercy, but I'm going to give you an extra dose of power through the Holy Spirit. And He's going to live inside of you, and He's going to enable you, He's going to direct you, He's going to guide you. And if you listen to Him, until I call you home, then you can enter into this finished rest. If that is your desire tonight, if you've never entered into the finished rest, I'm asking you to do that. Take a stand. Be brave. Put on Christ in baptism tonight. Will you do that right now as together we stand and as we sing?